Chapter 74. The southwest area of town, the swamp, as residents called it, had boomed in the wake of WW2 and was now the most run-down part of paradise. The small slab houses, built with only expedience and profit in mind, were showing their age. The swamp had been the only part of paradise considered working class, and for 60-plus years the scupper had been the place where fathers brought their sons for first drinks. Like the climate and the economy, that was all changing. The swamp was the one area in town where a young couple without much in the way of financial resources could buy a house. It's where Paradise's tiny Hispanic population had taken root. It was also home to whatever art and food scenes Paradise could muster. 5 years from now, Jesse thought, as he pulled up behind Pete's cruiser, the rents around here will be through the roof. He'd witnessed transitions like this before in L.A., the churning of neighborhoods from least to most desirable. But any way you looked at it, the scupper was a dump. As Jesse came through the front doors, he got a full dose of stale beer and cigarette smell. Although smoking in bars had been banned years ago, it still went on in places like the scupper. Smoking was possibly the one thing the old and newer patrons of the scupper agreed on. The bouncer, Brian Kent, another one of Suit's ex-teammates, nodded hello to the chief and pointed his thumb at the first booth in the back. The place was pretty empty. The bartender asked Jesse if he wanted something to drink. Tempted as he was, Jesse waved him off. Peter Perkins was sitting across the booth from Monty Bernstein. Bernstein's face looked undamaged, but the same could not be said of his sweater or his pride. The black, fine-wool sweater was torn in three places and covered with dust and beer. The cowed, slump-shouldered way the lawyer held himself told Jesse everything he needed to know about Bernstein's state of mind. "What happened here, Pete?"
"Seems like Mr. Bernstein had a few vodkas too many and picked a fight with a guy 20 years too young for him," Pete said. "Neighborhood kid named O'Connell."
"Who threw the first punch?" Perkins pointed across the table.
"All the witnesses agree on that."
"O'Connell pressing charges?"
"Probably not. I had a talk with him. I sort of suggested that Mr. Bernstein might show him some love and cash when he sobered up. I got his address and phone number."
"Good thinking, Pete. Next time there's a vacancy for UN ambassador, I'm putting your name forward." Pete grunted.
"Okay, Pete," Jesse said. "I can take it from here. Go get Molly and then get back out on patrol."
Jesse waited for Pete to leave before speaking to the lawyer.
"Come on, Monty. Looks like you need some fresh air."
Monty Bernstein stood up and wobbled a bit, getting his legs beneath him. As he walked out of the scupper, he kept his eyes down and his head straight. Jesse nodded to the bartender and the bouncer as they left. The night air was cool and damp, smelling vaguely of the ocean. Although the scupper was located about as far away from the sea as you could get in Paradise, it still wasn't very far. Paradise was all about proximity to the ocean, and all one ever need do was to sniff the air to be reminded of that. "Walk or drive?" Jesse said to the still silent lawyer.
"Drive. With the windows down, please."
They got into Jesse's Explorer and pulled away from the curb, Monty leaning toward the open window. Jesse headed northeast and asked Bernstein to explain himself, but Monty answered the question with one of his own.
"You ever do anything you were so ashamed of you couldn't live with it?"
"I've come close," Jesse said. "I used to think it was my fault that my marriage fell apart. Then there's my drinking. I did ruin my career with the LAPD with that. No debating that one."
"You said you've come close, but you never crossed the line?"
"Never. If I couldn't live with it, I wouldn't be here now."
"That's right. You're a cop," Monty said.
"If things got too bad for you, you'd eat your gun."
When Jesse nodded, his expression somehow both serious and fragile, Monty understood even through his drunken haze that Jesse had come close to doing that, too.
"But don't you feel guilty about things sometimes?"
"Guilt," Jesse said. "I know about guilt. But we're not talking about me, are we, Monty?"
"No, I guess we're not."
Jesse didn't say anything to that, opting for the trick of silence to work on the lawyer.
Pull over. Pull over, Jesse. I'm going to be sick.
Jesse swung the wheel hard right. His Explorer screeched to a stop. He hopped out of the driver's seat, came around the SUV, yanked Monty out of his seat. Monty didn't need any help with the rest. He emptied himself of everything except what was weighing on his conscience. In the meantime, Jesse got a bottle of water and a few aspirins out of the Explorer.
I'm okay now, Monty said, getting to his feet.
Jesse handed him the water and the aspirins. You better now? Jesse said as he pulled back into the light traffic.
I guess.
I'm going to ask you some questions that you're probably not going to answer, but I'm going to ask them anyway. It was Monty's turn to be silent. I've got a witness that'll testify that you and Harlan Salter met with Vic Prado at Burt's All-Star Grill in Helton. I've got photographic evidence that will back up that testimony. You want to tell me what was being discussed?
You know I can't answer that, Jesse.
But Jesse noticed that Monty's expression was twisted in pain as he spoke. When Jesse had pulled away from the scupper, he didn't have a destination in mind, but he had one now.